Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we had our suspicions yesterday, didn't we? We had our suspicions. Pretty good suspicions, too. I mean, the BS meter was definitely pegging. Yeah, we had some great phone calls in the 6 o'clock hour of the show yesterday. I was sharing some tweets, some posts on X by Matt Walsh, the Joker, and others. Got some great phone calls from Tim and Billings and Steve and Ballantyne. Now, yesterday, kicking off the show, we had our suspicions when it came to this whole story about Joe Biden. All of a sudden, they're saying he all of a sudden has cancer. All of a sudden. And we're like, wait a minute, that didn't just crop up over the weekend. So we had our suspicions yesterday. And in the last 24 hours, the doctors have weighed in. Lots of doctors have weighed in. Man, I was watching part of Jesse Waters' show last night, one of his segments, and it was like, well, this doctor says this is BS. This doctor says it's BS. That doctor says it was BS. It wasn't just doctors on Fox News. It was the doctors on MSNBC. It was the doctors everywhere saying, yeah, we got to call BS on this one. Well, what was craziest is that, well, actually, it's not crazy when you really think about it. So, presidents of the United States are surrounded by doctors and medical teams, right? Air Force One has its own, you know, flying hospital basically on board. You're always getting checked on. You're always getting physicals. You're always getting this. Why didn't they run any of the tests? And no, I'm not talking about the cognitive tests. Why didn't they run any of the tests that you would do to check for cancer, right? So, no joke, this was part of what Waters was reporting last night. I don't know if he was quoting the doctor on MSNBC or the doctor that was on Fox News or any other doctor out there. But basically, so Joe Biden was getting his annual physical, right, as the president of the United States, and they didn't run some of the routine cancer tests. You'll hear what the exact test it was here in just a second. And of course, You know, Waters raised the question, how come they, I mean, Joe Biden has a history of cancer. His family has a history of cancer. His son died tragically of brain cancer. Joe Biden, while he was president, even had skin cancer. So why wouldn't they test for all the different cancers while Joe Biden is president of the United States? Well, because they didn't run the tests. We all know the answer here. Because they knew the answer, and they didn't want the American people to know the answer. That's why Molly Hemingway from The Federalist, who was on Special Report with Brett Baer yesterday, was exactly spot on yesterday. This latest cancer story about Joe Biden isn't the reason to just say, okay, well, he's on his way out. He's a former president. Okay, time to just shut up and stop talking about all the Biden regime scandals. No, this is a massive scandal. This is a presidential scandal of epic proportions, what has just happened in the last 48 hours, which is exactly why they want you to shut up about all of it. Well, we're not shutting up. We got 4 hours to go, baby, here on this Tuesday. And, man, it's going to be a powerful lineup here all morning long, because this is the show where you get to talk. 406-294-0970. Wait till you hear this montage Jesse Waters put together. I'm going to lead off the 6 o'clock hour right after this with that.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Do pick up a chance for some scattered showers and thundershowers, mainly into the afternoon. High temperatures reaching into the upper 50s for Bozeman, expecting mid-60s, though, for Billings. For tonight, still that chance for some scattered showers and thundershowers in the evening. Mid-30s for Bozeman, low 40s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Securing America.
U.S. military commanders will be instructed to identify troops in their units who are transgender or have a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. The latest move aimed at fulfilling President Trump's order to remove trans service members from the military. After the Supreme Court lifted a hold on the military's plan to separate trans troops, the department says about 1,000 service members have volunteered to leave. While the legal fight over the trans ban works its way through the courts, some trans service members say they just want to serve. Stacey Wiley's partner, Lindell Wiley, is an Air Force service member stationed in Germany who has served the military for 17 years and is just 3 years away from retiring with full benefits.
My partner is a two-time combat veteran, and we worked really hard to get this close to retirement, and we just didn't. We wanted to fight tooth and nail until the end.
Active duty trans troops have until June 6th to voluntarily identify themselves, while National Guard and Reserves have until July 7th. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, that's a funny story, but I had to clear my desk. That was a story that was sitting in my show prep, I think, since last week. It was a story about Megyn Kelly had the Teamsters union president on her podcast. And the president of the Teamsters Union was talking about what a creepy running mate Kamala Harris had in the presidential election last year. That's just hilarious. Do you hear that one, Butte? All right, shoot me a message if you're in the house listening on 1370 KXTL out of Butte right now, Union Country of Butte, America. The Teamsters president called Tim Walz creepy. By the way, speaking of Tim Walz, tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, he was straight up lying about and attacking our federal law enforcement agents. Aren't they members of unions too, by the way? I'm just wondering, just asking for some friends in Butte. He was attacking our great men and women in federal law enforcement, and I played the clip yesterday if you missed it. Can't remember what hour that was. But now a much better Tim weighs in. Montana's Navy SEAL veteran and U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy was on Fox News yesterday calling out tampon Tim Walz for besmirching our great men and women in federal law enforcement. So we'll play that for you here at some point this morning. But first off, man, look out your window. We live in Montana. How blessed are we? How lucky are we? I got some great coffee. Our friend Chris Lagunas, a fellow veteran, he just sent us a whole new batch of 82 Coffee Company coffee. I got good coffee. It's a beautiful morning out there. I can see the snow-capped peaks of the mountains this morning. But whether you're looking at the mountains or the prairies, we live in Montana. Man, are we lucky to live here. All right, yesterday we had our suspicions. We had our suspicions. But the doctors have weighed in. Here you go, Jesse Waters, last night. And by the way, these clips that he's playing aren't just from Fox News. There's a couple of MSNBC clips in here.
But Biden wasn't given a cancer screening at his last medical checkup about a year ago.
It is interesting to note that President Trump's, President Obama's, and President Bush II, in their most recent physicals, in their terms of office, obviously 2025 for President Trump, did comment on their PSA levels. And so they got screened while in office and they commented on it. There is not a report of a PSA test on the most recent physical that was read out for President Biden's last year in office.
Which doctor decided not to screen President Biden for prostate cancer and why? Biden's not a healthy man. He had skin cancer when he was president. He broke his foot, had two pretty bad cases of COVID. And before he was president, he had two brain aneurysms. Why aren't they doing a full battery of tests on America's oldest president? Yale doctor Howard Foreman says it's inconceivable that this wasn't caught earlier. Dr. Zeke Emanuel, a Biden guy, says Biden's had prostate cancer for years.
If you have prostate cancer that is spread to the bone, then he's most certainly, you were saying, had it when he was president of the United States.
Oh, yeah. He did not develop it in the last 100, 200 days. He had it while he was president. He probably had it at the start of his presidency in 2021. I don't think there's any disagreement about that.
By the way, if you didn't recognize the voice of the last morning show host there that threw that question to the last doctor who's like, oh, yeah, total BS from the Biden doctors, et cetera. That was MS-13 NBC's Joe Scarborough, the Trump derangement syndrome guy, you know. That was Joe Scarborough on MSNBC interviewing a doctor who said, oh, yeah, this is total BS, which is exactly why Molly Hemingway, as she always is, was spot on yesterday afternoon on Special Report with Brett Baer.
We're in the midst of this staggering presidential scandal from the Biden administration. Whether you're talking about the mental decline or the physical decline, there was a conspiracy to keep from the American people knowing who was actually operating as president. And this is something that we still don't really have answers to. Joe Biden's name was the one on the ballot that people chose to be president, not Jake Sullivan or Barack Obama or Susan Rice. So understanding who was operating during this period of both mental and physical decline, something we haven't even come close to getting answers on. And it really makes all other, you know, presidential scandals throughout history seem somewhat pale in comparison.
So now some people may be asking out there, well, why? Why? They could have put somebody else in there. They could have put another Democrat in there. They could have invoked the 25th Amendment. They could have done a few different things. So why did they keep Joe Biden in there, knowing everything that they knew? And we even saw it with our own eyes, and apparently it was even worse behind the scenes. Why did they keep him in there? This was another clip that Jesse Waters shared last night on his program on Fox, but it came from Greg Gutfeld earlier in the day. Greg Gutfeld, who's got his own show, of course, later in the evening. And listen to why Gutfeld says, let me get the right clip up. Wait a minute. Is this the one? Yeah, okay, let me get I got to get the right one up here because there's another great Gutfeld clip that I've got on another topic altogether. Okay, here we go. This is what Greg Gutfeld said of why they kept him in there and why they hid all of this from the public.
Joe's dysfunction may have been caused not by disability, but by debility, meaning he was worn down on purpose, deliberately kept feeble and weak, which made him pliable, like a POW, except the W stands for White House. Joe's dysfunction was not prevented when it could have been because it kept him easily managed.
It's exactly right. They wanted a president of the United States that they could control, that they could control his every move. Just auto pen the pardons, auto pen it all.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Let's think outside the box for a minute about the future of transportation. 40,000 people die in vehicle crashes every year. Suppose we could cut that drastically. How? Driverless cars. Imagine for one moment a world where crashes were avoided. What would that mean? It would mean that we could have different kinds of vehicles. Smaller, lighter, more efficient, cheaper, more aerodynamic. We don't need airbags and huge bumpers. Lower fuel costs and lower insurance rates. The cheapest ones might be repaired the way we fix computers today, by replacing them with new ones. Lighter vehicles would call us less wear and tear on roads. We could use the same roads, garages, and parking lots we have today, but they could serve a lot more volume. Is this really so far-fetched? There are plenty of details to be worked out, like how we move things like freight and big families. Things like buses and commuter trains might become dinosaurs, but getting people to accept it might be easier than you think, especially if it costs a fraction of what we pay today. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Democratic Illinois Representative Sean Casten was giving constituents from his suburban Chicago district a tour of the Capitol when word came that the new Pope, Leo XIV, was from the Windy City. Quote, "We'll finally get some good hot dogs at the Vatican," said Casten. The Pope is a partisan of the Chicago White Sox, but that was far from clear at the moment the news broke. I asked the constituents whether they thought the new Pope pulled for the Cubs or the White Sox. Half said the Pale Hose. After all, they were Southsiders. The other half exclaimed the Cubs. Larry Gorey from Downers Grove, Illinois, said he hoped the Pope would be what he called a liberal. His wife, Rochelle Gorey, said that her grandparents would be very happy. She noted that they were practicing Catholics and would be thrilled about the news. The family said they hoped that the Pope Pope would come back to Chicago at some point, and they added that they had a guest room at their home. But the late Pope Francis never returned to his house in Argentina once he became Pope in 2013. And Larry Gorey said he hoped the Pope from Chicago would export deep dish pizza to the Vatican. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show will break down the absolute latest on Trump's big, incredible trip to the Middle East and the continued impact that it is having. Plus, we will break down everything in the world of tariff battles and the big, beautiful bill. What is all going to happen there? We'll give you the latest as we head into the weekend. Make sure you don't miss it. Come hang with us on Clay and Buck.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, after nearly 100 days of traveling our nation and visiting directly with hundreds of farmers and ranchers, this week, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins released the first set of policy proposals under her newly launched Make Agriculture Great Again initiative. Now, these initial proposals, they say, are a comprehensive set of policy solutions aimed at improving the viability and longevity of smaller-scale family farms and ranches for generations to come. Keep in mind, about 86% of all farms in the U.S. are small family farms. So to help ensure small family producers can start and stay in business, the USDA has outlined a toolkit of actions, including the streamlining of application processes, improving reliable access to credit, farmland and markets, and appropriate business planning tools. The Small Family Farms Policy Agenda provides actionable solutions, they say, to a wide variety of challenges faced by today's small family farmers and ranchers. If you'd like to check out some of the highlights for yourself, you can visit us online at WesternAgNetwork.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Attention landowners, the Conservation Reserve Program is now open. CRP is a great option for those hard-to-farm acres. In fact, CRP improves soil, water, and wildlife habitat. It also safeguards against risky weather and catastrophic wildfire. All that adds up to a better bottom line for your farm or ranch. The CRP sign-up is going on now. Find a local Pheasants Forever biologist at pheasantsforever.org/CRP or visit your local USDA service center. Farm the best, CRP the rest.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association and Northern Crops Institute invite you to join the Pulse Potential Webinar Series. The webinars focus on providing education on pulse production and use with the goal of increasing consumer demand and expanding pulse production through new growers. Topics include the use and benefits of pulse crops, trends and innovations, market drivers, and the path from producer to processor. Check out the schedule and register for the next webinar at northern-crops.com/webinars.
Well, Wyoming Senator and Senate Majority Whip John Barrasso recently spoke on the Senate floor in support of modernizing the Federal Endangered Species Act.
It's a federal boondoggle. We need to return the management of the recovered grizzly bears to the states where it belongs. And this is not meant to be a partisan issue. It's a practical one.
Now, Barrasso joined Montana Senator Steve Daines and Wyoming Senator Cynthia Lemus, along with Wyoming Representative Harriet Hageman, in sending a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service calling on the agency to move quickly to delist the grizzly bear and return management to the states. And finally this morning, you know, the economic impact of tariffs can be difficult and complex to understand. So Dr. David Anderson of Texas A&M University joins the American Sheep Industry Association's Research Update podcast this month to discuss tariffs as they apply to both lamb and wool. Currently, imported lamb from Australia and New Zealand carries a 10% tariff, while the U.S. imports a large percentage of lamb consumed domestically. It exports a large portion of the American wool clip. Anderson tries to make sense of it all, admitting that the wool tariffs are a much more complicated situation for wool growers. To check it out, visit us at WesternAgNetwork.com. I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic.
Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines. Looks like we got folks wanting to weigh in on this massive scandal showing that the Biden White House was just lying across the board, this massive scandal about them concealing his true medical condition. It's just confirmed once again. Mike in Big Timber, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. My thought is this. Isn't the medical diagnosis of a doctor, isn't that private?
Well, yeah, for you personally, but for the president of the United States, oftentimes that is disclosed to the public.
Well, the exam and the results of the exam usually are. There was a doctor on with a client Buck yesterday as I was going to the Veterans Administration for my checkup, and she said that even though they may have diagnosed this prostate cancer. It had been going on for quite some time, but medical, the doctor is not obligated to release and to, release his diagnosis to the public. The problem is, Aaron, and you pointed it out, the cover-up was his mental acuity. They had their obligation was under the 25th Amendment to bring this, to bring that forward. But the administration... We're all Obamaites, and they wouldn't do it. And like you said, he was just a, they kept him that way so that they could, keep the Democrat agenda going. That's the main problem.
He was a puppet. Yes. They hid all of this from the American people because, A, they could control him. He was a puppet. They were worried what him. Mm-hmm. And they just thought, well, with, like in politics, if somebody has a more well-established name, they just assumed they're more likely to win, more likely to hold on to an office. And so doesn't this also tell us just how bad Kamala Harris actually was as well, that they knew how bad she was going to be for the Democrat Party, that despite Joe Biden and all of the medical troubles he was facing, they still were not going to remove him from office?
Right. The least of the troubles was would have been the diagnosis of a prostate cancer. And Aaron, have you ever looked at a documentary back in 1945 at the Yalta Conference when Churchill met with and President Roosevelt met with Stalin? Did you ever see a picture of Roosevelt? He was completely emaciated. And he was in no condition to be the president. That was another thing. If you looked at, he died a few weeks after that conference, and you could see that in President Biden, his not only his mental acuity, but his physical appearance was really something.
And it was on full display for all of us. That's the thing, is
right.
None of this is really a surprise to anybody. Nobody is surprised by any of this because we saw the decay right in front of our very own eyes. All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Back in 60 seconds. Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's your thoughts on this whole Biden cover-up story?
Well, okay, I got a bunch of them. I've got two important talking points today. I believe that Biden had cancer when he entered the Oval Office after the election was stolen from Trump in 2020. Obviously, there was a deep state conspiracy here. Obama, Susan Rice, you name it, a bunch of people were involved. The guy was on David Letterman's show a few years before he actually announced he was running for the presidency or pushed into the presidency, and he said that he had a brain tumor. When David Letterman asked him if he's going to run, he said, "I can't because I had a tumor removed from my brain." So I just want to say this. I'm horrified, and the 25th Amendment, I'm worried about the Constitution. I don't believe it's working for us. Okay, we've got Woodrow Wilson, we've got FDR, we had John F. Kennedy, who was addicted to painkillers and in a wheelchair near the end, and also now Joe Biden. The 25th isn't working. The 25th should have worked during all four of these presidencies. They should have all been kicked out on their cans right out the front door of the White House, but they weren't. So that I'm worried about the Constitution. It's not working, Americans. Something's wrong here. And I just want to say that as far as I'm concerned, the last 4 years during the Biden administration, it should be labeled as invalid. It should be marked off the charts. Everything that SOB or whoever was running the administration back then should be off the books.
Well, this is all, you're right, Nancy, in the sense that all of these pardons that were done with the auto pen, maybe even some judicial nominations that were done with the auto pen. I know there's somebody's leading the investigation. I think it's the guy that President Trump first nominated to be U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. I think he's leading this investigation, if I remember right, to look at all of these auto pen signatures on all these pardons. I mean, thousands of pardons. It calls all of that into question in a much greater extent now. The other important point that Nancy just made there is she brought up the 2020 elections. Think about it. Think about this massive scandal, as Molly Hemingway described, the fact that the Biden regime and everybody propping this puppet up in the White House, what they did, lying to the American people, not just about this, but about so many other things. Look at what they did. Allowing this invasion of our country over the last 4 years. Look at their lies about COVID-19 and China and so much more. Oh, but those people would never lie or cheat when it comes to elections. Oh, no. By the way, these same people that have been fully exposed for their lies are now once again interfering with election laws here in Montana. We had a couple of bills that came through the Montana legislature dealing with election integrity and, you know, voter. And already the Democrat front groups and these left-wing mega donors and, you know, the very people who launched the Russia collusion hoax, the Perkins Coie law firm, et cetera, they're already filing lawsuits to undermine additional election integrity laws here in Montana. Just a heads up.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, brother. Okay, we got to do a random start here. You know, I was talking about how we got this this great coffee back in the house, thanks to Chris Lagunas with the 82 Coffee Company out of Dillon for sending us some coffee. So I briefly just had to stop and just say, man, look at that beautiful view outside of our Montana Talk studio windows this morning here, the snow-capped peaks of the mountains and all the beautiful green trees out there. So I love this time of year when it's just so green everywhere. Caden, would you agree or disagree? Would you agree that the city of Billings has a lot of trees? A lot of trees. Would you agree, or would you look out the studio windows right now and say, nah, you know, Billings really doesn't have a lot of trees. Now, you get outside of the city limits. You get out on the flat land, up on the top of the rims, and you get, not a lot of trees out there, you know, in the rest of the more, you know, prairie or rangeland, shall we say. But Billings itself has a lot of trees. Would you agree, Caden? You're looking out the same window I am. That looks like a lot of trees, if you ask me. This reminds me of that story out of Butte. So, you know, you just got to say to the guy at the, was it with the Parks Department with the City of Billings? Which program was he in here? Let's see. Oh, the City Forester. Yeah, with the Parks and Recs Department in Billings. So he applied for a grant, a $1 million federal tree grant. And it reminds me, remember there was the community center in Butte. They got like $24 million from the outgoing Biden regime, you know, through a climate resiliency program. And from the EPA. Now, sounds like a cool project. You know, the folks in Butte are supporting it. They got some, you know, private sector donations from the Washington Foundation. But when you look at the project, you're like, is this really a climate resiliency project? No, but hey, smart thinking by the folks in Butte to say, hey, if this is how we can shake money out of that tree in Washington, D.C. for our community center, well, we'll call it a climate whatever you want to call it, you know. You can call me Betty. You can call me Al, whatever. Whatever lands the federal grant, right? Well, here's the story out of Billings. I don't know if you guys saw this one. I don't know if this headline kind of made you laugh as well. This was from a few days ago now, though, but KTVQ television had this headline. DEI policy shift leads to cancellation of Billings $1 million federal tree grant. Now, there was another headline, because it's just sometimes it's just really fun to just read the headlines on some of these things. But basically, the city of Billings was getting a $1 million grant from the federal government to support DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, to plant trees. What do trees in Billings have to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion? Well, we're going to focus on planting trees in underserved areas. Tell me about the underserved areas in the city of Billings. South Side's got a lot of trees. Some people might say that the South Side would typically be a more underserved area. Billings Heights has a lot of trees. Beautiful golf course, too. You know, the areas, the neighborhoods in Billings that are underserved and don't have as much tree canopies are the new neighborhoods with the newer, more expensive homes, because it takes a little while for those trees to grow tall and have the big canopy. But no, oh no, Billings, because of they don't have their DEI trees now because of this federal grant. It's like, what are these, gay trees? Are they Hispanic trees? Are they black trees? They all look pretty green to me. I mean, you could have, that would have been more likely to get a green whatever EPA climate resiliency grant. Well, we're going to plant more trees. These trees love the carbon dioxide. We're going to plant more trees. No, but instead it was pitched as a diversity, equity, inclusion grant. And we wonder why we're $36 trillion in debt. And we wonder why President Trump and Congress are trying to peel back this $2 trillion deficit right now as we speak. It's like, my goodness, this is what they're calling DEI? I mean, I guess if they're going to be wasting DEI money on anything during the last 4 years of the Biden regime, they might as well just go plant some trees rather than go chop body parts off of kids, which is what else they were trying to do with your taxpayer dollars. Okay, let's see. Let's go back to the Biden cancer diagnosis here. We were all calling BS on this story yesterday. What does the former White House doctor have to say about all this? Ronnie Jackson. You guys remember Ronnie Jackson? He was Obama's White House doctor, and then he was Trump's White House doctor. And because he told the truth about President Trump's medical status, boy, they tried to tear him down. You had liberal senators like John Tester lying about Ronnie Jackson on national TV, all because he spoke the truth about President Trump's medical diagnosis. And look at the way these guys lied about President Trump's medical status while they covered up Joe Biden's medical status. This whole idea that they didn't even run some of these cancer tests on Joe Biden, this whole idea that they didn't, that they completely hid this from the American people is outrageous. Sean Hannity was talking with now Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson about a whole suite of medical capabilities available to the president, because Sean Hannity was just on Air Force One last week.
There are so many medical considerations for our president that it is frankly mind-boggling.
Well, Sean, look, this is either medical malpractice or, like you said, this is yet another medical cover-up. I find it absolutely, just like you do, inconceivable that this man has prostate cancer after just leaving the White House. He was at the White House for 4 years. He had access to world-class health care for 4 years, the pinnacle of executive concierge medicine. And there's absolutely no excuse that Dr. O'Connor, his personal physician, and I just want to clarify one thing, the White House medical unit is a fantastic medical unit, and they do everything they're supposed to do. There's one person, one, that's responsible for his medical care in this regard, which should have been screening him for prostate cancer, and that's Dr. Kevin O'Connor, the appointed physician to the president. That was his job during the Biden administration, that was my job during the Trump administration, and my job during the Obama administration. Go back and look at the medical records.
Straight up political cover up. Anyway, I'll share more of what Ronnie Jackson had to say maybe later this morning, but we got some callers on the phone lines, so let's jump right into it here. Sean in Belgrade, you say you've got a point that nobody's bringing up when it comes to this Biden story. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I haven't heard this anywhere, but it's starting to make sense now why Biden didn't give himself a preemptive pardon. It appears he knew he is not going to be around to need it.
Interesting. Yeah, he pardoned everybody else, pardoned Fauci, pardoned the rest of the crew. Maybe he's like, hey, I really don't need one. I don't have much time left. I don't know. Although, he still could have several years, especially, the way we can consistently see medical advancements, et cetera. But, no, interesting point.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's around for a few more years, but that's just a point I haven't heard anybody bring up yet, so. That's all I got. Have a good day.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, Sean, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to 1450 KMMS. Let's go to our next caller. Let's see, Michael, formerly of Circle, Montana. What do you think about these DEI trees?
Hey, Aaron, this is Michael, the man, retired man, Grew McConnell. I think good talking to you again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're in Bozeman, right? Yeah.
I am now. And tell you what, I had 144 acres. And they thought I had a forest because I had 7 Russian olive trees on that. And I actually had more cactus than I did trees.
Out there in eastern Montana, yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Russian olives because, diversity, equity, inclusion. If federal DEI money gets to go to trees, I mean, you would think Russian olives would count. But Russian olives, that's not the kind of trees we want. Those are noxious weeds. They consume a lot of water. So maybe we don't need DEI with our trees. We just need we need native species.
Yes, but that's the only thing that grows out there and provides shade for their livestock.
That's true.
If they happen to have some. But you're right. It takes the water away from their cottonwoods. But it was funny. Like they said, they thought I had a forest because I had 7 trees on 144 acres.
They could see your place for miles with a forest like that out there in Circle. That's for sure.
Hey, keep up the good work on promoting the co-ops.
Hey, well, appreciate what you do. Appreciate what you did with McCone Electric as well. Yeah, it's so great to partner with our friends from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. So, I appreciate your phone call as well. Thanks for calling in, Michael.
Okay, Aaron, bye.
All right, see you. Yeah, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I got to go check our Montana Talks app messages here during the break as well. You can send us a message. Always good to get your phone calls, but I know sometimes... Sometimes you're a little busy, especially here in the early morning hours. Let's see. Chris in Billings. The decay of Joe Biden is comparable to the decay of our republic whenever Democrats are in power. That's Chris in Billings.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Tim Walz is delivering the commencement address at the University of Minnesota Law School, being ripped for using, the term. Some would say, boy, this is getting way too political for a commencement address, he said. But I would argue I wouldn't be honoring my oath if I didn't address this head on. I'm going to start with the flashing red light, Donald Trump's modern day Gestapo. Here we go. Worked so well for him in the final arguments of this campaign, Nazi, fascist, racist, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini. Might as well stick with what fails and fails dramatically. Chris Murphy, Connecticut. We have a madman in the Oval Office because Dems failed to oust Biden. Oh, now they're all mad that they all knew Biden was a mess. They only have themselves to blame.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags hand-sewn to the deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now. Support our veterans and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Do pick up a chance for some scattered showers and thundershowers, mainly into the afternoon. High temperatures reaching into the upper 50s for Bozeman, expecting mid-60s, though, for Billings. For tonight, still a chance for some scattered showers and thundershowers in the evening. Mid-30s for Bozeman, low 40s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Can Missoula, Montana become a hub for film and TV production, creating a few hundred jobs in the process? Dennis Bragg has the update on the former Roseburg Forest Products Mill site in Missoula. You can see that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, is the project going to be up and running faster than expected? An update on the St. Mary's Irrigation Project for the High Line. That and more, check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good riddance to this guy. My goodness, former Democrat Senator John Tester, Liberal Senator John Tester. You know, listen to how he responded to this whole Joe Biden scandal here. He says, "I appreciate Joe Biden's years of service to this country as senator, VP, and president." What do you appreciate about his so-called years of service? Anyway, he says, "I especially appreciate President Biden's work to bring our floundering economy back from the previous administration's short-sighted policies. We are sending our thoughts to the Biden family." What a phony. Oh, man. But anyway, a cat out in eastern Montana, I think she shared this on X. She said this to Tester: "You are so dishonest. What happened to your dirt farmer dreams?" Great question. Greg, has anybody seen him in Big Sandy? Yeah, likely not. Likely not. The guy is such a phony. The guy was such a fraud. All right, back into the phone lines we go here. Robert in Belgrade says he's got another point about Biden that nobody's bringing up here with this whole massive scandal, this massive cover-up. Robert, what's your thoughts?
Well, all these guys that covered him up, they should have a cognizance test. I heard one of the, I think it was a senator yesterday, said that he could run for another term and make it. I think every Democrat should get a cognizance test. Some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth is unbelievable. And to make it right, might as well have the Republicans. Everybody that goes in office should get one.
Yeah.
Just to see who they are.
They'd either fail the cognitive test or they're complete lying, corrupt crooks. I'm going to go with they're complete lying, corrupt crooks. Jake Tapper is obviously with it, because you could argue that Jake Tapper on CNN needs to take a cognitive test for the way that he claimed to not see the cognitive decline of Joe Biden. So does Jake Tapper need to take a cognitive test, or is it pretty obvious that Jake Tapper has his faculties all together? He's just a lying, corrupt, you know, journalist, right?
Well, after this, he probably loses audience anyway. So,
well, if CNN didn't have Scott Jennings, what would they have? I don't know if you got a chance to hear our conversation with Scott Jennings yesterday. We had a ton of fun getting a chance to talk with him in the 9 o'clock hour of the show.
Thank you for my time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you, Robert. And it was fun meeting you back at the Rockin' R, I think it was, last year, and a couple of other spots as we did over 105 events all across Montana last year with our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana. Okay, let's see. Just about out of time this hour of the show. We're going to keep the phone lines open heading into the 7 o'clock hour of the show as well. And then John Jackson, the Joker from X, is with us later on in the 8 o'clock. And I think he'll stick around for the 9 o'clock hour of the show with us as well. I want to talk about the latest with this big, beautiful bill. President Trump is actually, he's probably on his way. He's probably already at the Capitol right now. He, I saw in Politico's playbook that he is joining House Republicans at their House GOP conference meeting at 9 a.m. Eastern, which is, of course, right now, 2 minutes from now, Montana time. So President Trump is basically going there to call on House Republicans to unite to pass this one big, beautiful bill, especially for making the Trump tax cuts permanent and how important that is to our economy. There are some holdouts. You know, there's some of the New York Republicans are trying to get a break in their state taxes because of their bad blue state politicians. And then some conservative hardliners are also pressing for more spending cuts. And by the way, I think Chip Roy is spot on with some of the changes that he wants to see happen here. I'll give you some, you know, three easy fixes that can help this bill. The Unleash Prosperity Hotline has a good rundown on that front. So, yeah, that and more coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I once worked for an electric utility with a program that encouraged customers to get rid of their second refrigerators. The idea was a little complicated. Pay people to drop off their old refrigerators, it was thought, and the demand for electricity would fall as they were unplugged. That means fewer expensive electric plants were needed and kept the growth in rates in check. There's only one problem. The old refrigerators were replaced, not simply unplugged, by cooperating customers, and the impact on demand was minimal. Research finds the same thing for agricultural land use programs. Given the freedom to choose specific plots of land to set aside to lie fallow or to remain uncut for forest land, landowners choose plots that they weren't going to plow or cut anyway, essentially collecting payments to take actions they were already planning to do. The popularity of these kinds of options is less easy to understand, but their objectives are unfulfilled. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.